Welcome to yet another edition of Community Hospitalist Podcast. For all those faithful and devoted listeners out there, thanks for returning. I'm going to talk today about two issues that really affect hospital medicine. The first being low back pain, and particularly I was interested in the recent article in the clinical guideline of hearing impairments of return to medicine. And this appeared recently in February. What they tried to do was square current practice against clinical recommendations in terms of recommendations for imaging for back pain. I think there are several issues that affect the decision to obtain imaging, and it seems, particularly in hospital medicine, sometimes that the reason for imaging is simply that the patient comes to the hospital with back pain. And so I think that this is sometimes a issue that perhaps we are over-imaging quite a bit, even in hospital medicine. So I think what can happen is that a patient will present with back pain to the emergency department with the expectation of getting an MRI. MRI, of course, will show some abnormality, and that will lead to the thought that the patient should get an injection, and then the patient will get an injection. And I wonder whether this is in fact the right way to go. And perhaps more of our patients, particularly patients who are neurologically intact, we should be transitioning to oral medications for a month period. I think this squares with what they recommend in the guidelines. And interesting to me was that telling patients that they had back abnormalities could result in unintended harms related to labeling. And they cited a study where patients were randomly assigned to receive their MRI reports, those patients who had their reports actually fared worse in terms of general health. And so they speculate that they may focus excessively on minor symptoms or avoid exercise or other activities. And I also agree with their statement that visual evidence can be very compelling despite the uncertainties related to interpretation of spinal imaging. And so I think that's another thing that abnormal image tends to, particularly in the face of pain, drive subsequent testing. They also bring up several sort of practical issues, and I think particularly true are patient expectations and the patient's desire for a clear diagnosis. And this can be particularly difficult, so that recommending a image is easy, but not recommending an image is actually difficult. They suggest imaging for major risk factors for cancer, risk factors for spinal infection, signs or symptoms of cognitive Aquinas syndrome, severe neurologic deficits, And they suggest MRI after initial trial therapy with signs or symptoms of radiculopathy in patients who are candidates for surgery or epidural steroid injection. And so I think that this is really the patients we most often see signs and symptoms of radiculopathy. And I'm not sure that we pursue a trial of therapy first, and oftentimes their emergency room visit may be their first presentation. So it's just food for thought about whether imaging is always the right thing to do. The next article I wanted to turn to was really the DOSE trial, which appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine here in March. And what's really remarkable to me about this trial is that basically we have millions of people, and probably heart failure is a very common admitting diagnosis, but the mainstay of therapy, in particular LASIX, has very little in terms of rigorous trials to support differing regimens. And so I think this is really a remarkable set of circumstances. I think several things about the DOSE trial are extremely interesting. First of all, that it's done, and I think it provides some guidance in terms of diuretic therapy for a very common illness. So for those of you not familiar with the trial, it compared a continuous infusion of LASIX in high dose, which they defined as 2.5 times the patient's outpatient dose of LASIX given IV twice daily, to low dose, which was basically an equivalent dose to the patient's previous oral dose given twice daily. And these patients, they randomized 308 of them, were on fairly high doses of LASIX to start, 40 milligrams, 80 milligrams daily. So, moderate LASIX dose. And what they found was that patients in the high dose group had a more rapid improvement in dyspnea. There was a but they were slightly more likely to have a transient worsening of renal function. The median length of stay for all the groups was similar. And so I think that a LASIX infusion would be probably not the preferred method, and that this really seemed to support high dose LASIX as at least being safe, and perhaps actually a little better than a low dose strategy. And I think, as the editorialist points out, what's really remarkable is how poorly these patients did, with 43% rate of death, rehospitalization, or emergency department visit within the first 60 days, no matter what initial treatment regimen was pursued. So, again, the patient goes in and goes out, and hopefully there'll be some additional, perhaps PA catheter monitoring or other measures that'll help in terms of keeping these patients out of the hospital, but I don't think anyone has really found the magic bullet yet, and this study doesn't really support any one regimen of LASIX as the key regimen in terms of preventing rehospitalization. High dose Lasix, faster improvement in symptoms, and similar renal function. So that's basically the bottom line, though. Obviously, with a couple caveats that you'll have to refer to the article for more information. So that's it for another edition of the Community Hospitalist Podcast, a short and sweet edition today. And for any questions or comments, feel free to contact me by email, dan.valancius@gmail.com. Thank you.